This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Dane Lobb. I'm a public safety specialist with PG&E. If you encounter a down power line, you need to stay away from it. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond, as well as PG&E. PG&E will make the scene safe.
Listen to NBC Sports Radio. Weekend 6 is the Two Robbies Football Show. Your number one source for Premier League football on NBC Sports Radio. Now, your hosts, Robbie Musto and Robbie Earle.
Welcome to the Two Robbies Football Show on NBC Sports Radio, where we get you caught up with all the action, all the big storylines on another busy day in the Premier League. I'm Robbie Earle. I've got my old mucker, Robbie Musto, who wasn't working today, so I know he's chomping at the bit as ever. Musto, we've got to start with the game at the Etihad. Had goals, had penalty claims, had injuries, had bad goalkeeping, had yellow cards. It kind of had it all. Let's start with Manchester City, mate. What did you make of City's performance and the way they set up today?
I think you've got to split it into two parts, and let's go and do that. And the first part will be in possession, the way that they set up. Very attack minded, as everybody said about the game, the way that they set up in midfield with Yaya Toure, the only really defensive minded midfield player, with David Silva and De Bruyne either side of him. That's incredibly attack minded. But it kind of worked out. They possessed the ball really well. They look very good going forward. Whenever David Silva and Kevin De Bruyne are on the ball and looking sharp and knocking it around and playing those through balls and combining and getting in between the lines, Man City are very, very good. So that was a positive. They created chances. The finishing wasn't great. So that was good. And when Pep speaks afterwards, and when he generally speaks, Rob, that's what he wants, his team to control the game with possession. That's what they did. But you can't talk about the attacking part without talking about the defensive part. And yes, it was good from City for large periods of time. We'll get on and talk about the key decisions that impacted the game, but defensively, Robbie Earle, they conceded two goals, two perfectly fair goals. Again, two goals conceded. So I think there's positives with the way that they play in this particular game, but it still goes back for me that the City team isn't, that dominance in possession isn't going to be enough week in, week out to win games, because other teams find ways to score against City quite easily.
I agree with you there, mate. I saw a couple of things maybe slightly differently as well. In terms of one thing, I was quite surprised, and I thought they did quite well in terms of flexibility. At times they went from back to front a little bit quicker. Ball went back to Bravo, and he went long, Rob, into the front guys, and they kind of played from there. So they bypassed the pressure, which I thought was interesting. I thought at times they had a nice high press on as well, and gave Spurs some problems for Spurs playing out the back. So it was almost a bit roles reversed sort of what I thought Spurs might do to City.
I'll tell you what, I made a note that it was obviously very noticeable the less risk taken at the back. Playing out from the back, go cliche, smack to few. I know Pep had his head in his hands when he did it a couple of times. The goalkeeper, Claudio Bravo, knocked longer balls. So they must have talked about when it's not right to play out from the back, we shouldn't do it. And that totally makes sense. So that's an improvement. That's something that they have to continue with until maybe a time when they're knocking it around and they're playing out much confidently at the back. But that's it. That's improved. But still, it was a fantastic ball in for the first goal, wasn't it, for Delhi. Heung-min Son tucks his goal in as well. So it's not just about the mistakes they make at the back. They still are very, very geared up for possessing and attacking and less focused on defending. And against the Spurs side, that to kind of dig in a little bit, that's going to continue to hurt them.
Before we get to the crucial incident, Robert, I just want to get your thoughts on, for 2 weeks I've seen Manchester City, and Pep's made a big thing of it after the game. They had 17 shots today, only two goals. They had lots of shots against Everton again, didn't score any goals, got beat 4-0. And he keeps saying, if we take our chances. And I'm just thinking about the teams he's had in the past, the Barcelonas, the Bayern Munichs, who have had the players, Rob, to put those chances away, and it's a whole different game. Is this a frustration for him? Is this something he's going to have to work out in the way he wants to play?
Well, he's got good players. I mean, you know, Gabriel Jesus comes on, and another $30-odd million signing to add to the attacking flow, you know?
Is Aguero the man still for him? Do you still think that relationship is what it should? I mean, we see stuff in the papers about they had a lunch meeting or dinner meeting this week, and people are speculating whether Aguero's going to be there long term.
I think he is. I mean, but you know, there's a lot of talk, and often when there's talk, there's something in it. And the relationship, it's difficult for us to be able to definitively say whether there's a bad relationship there or not. He looked okay today. He wasn't fantastic and didn't score a goal. But you have to think that he wants to keep him. I mean, unless he's got huge guys ready to come in. I mean, Sergio Aguero is still one of the best strikers in the Premier League, if not the best on his day. Mm. But it continues to be a cause for concern. They've got... I'm less worried about that part of it. I know Pep is, and I know that Pep relies on taking those chances because the possession enables it, and if he doesn't take those chances, they're going to concede 1, 2, 3 goals in a game where they don't win it. So it's important to him. I think on the bigger picture of City for me, Rob, it's still that the players aren't right for the way that he wants to do it. And the difficulty level that he wants from his team, it's really hard, and you've got to have brilliant, brilliant players and better players than the other teams. And at Barcelona, there were. Bayern Munich, they were better than everybody else. Now, there might be a lot of the players might be better than a lot in the Premier League, but not that much. And I still think with the pace of the game, the frantic nature of the Premier League football, his team can't control and dominate games like he's used to.
OK, well, we've got to get to the crucial 60 minutes, 60 seconds even in the game. Manchester City break through Raheem Sterling. Kyle Walker's chasing him. Walker pushes Sterling in the box. Should definitely have been a penalty kick. I don't think there's any argument about that. The penalty's not given. 60 seconds later, Spurs work a nice move down the right hand side, and Heung-min Son brings them level. I mean, where are we with this penalty claim? Because Sterling doesn't go down, should you know, the referee can still give the penalty, surely?
Yeah, of course he can still give it. I mean, it doesn't look as bad, Rob, does it, when a player doesn't go down? And this is why attackers will say, this is why we go down, because we want to make sure that the referee sees that there was significant contact. And there was significant contact. Raheem Sterling's running at pace. And you know, it totally put him off. But from Kyle Walker, he said it afterwards that he knew he couldn't get there, and he did as much as he could to put him off, and he got it just about right because the referee didn't spot it. But no, it was certainly a miss, and I'm sure Pep was fuming.
Yeah, he would have been fuming. And listen, he was asked after by the media what he thought about the penalty kick, and again he bristled a little bit, Rob. This was his response.
Pep, we're just watching it again, the push on Raheem Sterling. What are your feelings about that?
First question is about the referee.
Just because we were watching it just
it's
then.
BBC. BBC had prestigious, had to talk about the football, not the referee.
Just because we just saw it just then, I just wonder what your reaction to that was.
Okay, the guy is going to say what happened.
Let's go back to the performance of your team then. What are your thoughts overall about the performance?
Very good. We make an outstanding performance.
So a couple of things there, Rob, and of course the referee, of course he's upset by that. Of course he knows that was a mistake, and I actually read something he said afterwards. I'd like Mike Riley to explain the penalty rules to me. So I think that's a given. You know, the end there, Rob, when he said it was an excellent performance, I still have a problem with that. I still have a problem with that because it wasn't excellent. They conceded two goals. Yes, if the rules would have been, if the referee had done his job today, then Spurs would have been down to 10 men. They would have won this game, and I get that, but it wasn't given, and they still conceded two goals, so it can't be an excellent performance. Is he just saying this, Rob, or does he believe that as long as his team plays great football and creates opportunities, whether they take them or not, it's still an excellent performance?
I'm not sure, Rob. I'm a little confused with Pep at times. It was almost like the media were trying to be sympathetic today, and he didn't want that with them. I'm just going to push you on this before we get to a break. Spurs had two shots on target today, two goals. Last weekend, Everton had four shots on target, four goals. You know where I'm going with this. The goalkeeper, none of them are particularly at fault of the goalkeeper, but it's been recorded now that you know, you take a shot at Manchester City's goal, if it's on target, it usually finds the back of the net. We keep saying the goalkeeper's not a problem, but they keep conceding too many goals. Is there a point where we'll have to turn our attention to Claudio Bravo and what he's doing or maybe not doing as a case?
Yeah, I mean, lots of people are turning their attention to him, and he's getting hammered. And I get it. And the stats are not good. he is a good goalkeeper. You don't do what he's done in his career, national level and at club level, without being a good goalkeeper. Now, is he playing well? No. He's not playing well. And you expect him, some of these shots that are going in, you just expect him to make a save. You've seen De Gea do it before, Courtois do it, Lloris do it. Lots of other goalkeepers make saves that you don't expect them to make. He's not doing any of those. He's not making a save that you don't expect him to make. Does it look awful? Are they awful mistakes? No. But, I'm disappointed that he's not making more reflex saves, and the stats obviously are very damning. But the way City play, the chances they give up are often really good ones. So again, I'm supporting the guy. I think he is a good goalkeeper, struggling to come to terms with life at Manchester and in this league, and I don't think there's any denying that. But I still think Rob, with his ability, he can come through it. What do you think? Are you losing faith? Are you with the crowd that are baying for blood almost with him and get him out?
Not really. At times I'm thinking about the players in front of him, Rob. Sometimes defending is you admit your defenders in front, getting blocks, showing people away from goal, getting angles. So, listen, it just seemed to me, mate, like it's another frustrating day for City. Still haven't worked it out. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to draw a line under City and Spurs, focus a little bit more attention on Spurs and their comeback today. Then we're going to move our attention to Anfield, where high-flying Liverpool were the best attack in the league. We're facing low-flying Swansea with the worst defence in the league. So they should win that game easily, shouldn't they? You're listening to Robbie's Football Show. We'll be back in a tick.
You got ears. Use them. This is NBC Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the Two Robbies Football Show. Continuing with Manchester City and Spurs. Tottenham were 2-0 down at the Etihad today, ended up 2-2. You've got to be kind of pleased if you're in the Spurs camp, I would think, with the end result. They showed some spirit, they showed some character, they showed some maturity, Rob.
Yeah.
People have been questioning with Spurs. I thought in the end that's a really strong point for Tottenham.
Yeah, actually impressed. Impressed when you consider that the two goals from City were very unusually the goalkeeper error. Hugo Lloris made two errors for those goals. Other than that, I know that Man City created opportunities to score and Lloris made some good saves as well. But in general, when you think about how the game went and you think about how attacking the Man City lineup was and that they did have to adjust the system on the fly, I thought Mauricio Pochettino did a great job of switching out from that 3-4-3 because Wanyama and Dembele in midfield were getting outnumbered by a zillion midfield players for Man City. He brought another midfield player in there. Dyer came in. They changed it to 4-2-3-1, made other changes. So it's good. It's all good for City. Good reaction, as you said there. They're strong. They believe in themselves a little bit more. They got the two really well taken and created and crafted goals. Heung-min Son continues to be somebody that's improving at this club, like many others under Pochettino. I thought it was a strong, strong point for Spurs.
Devil's advocate, Kevin Vimmer looked uncomfortable, Robin, in that back three. I thought he looked nervous and tentative. But then, Vertonghen's out, we know. Alderweireld come off today, looks like some kind of muscle injury. That could be a while. They might struggle a little bit then with those two out. That's a huge loss for Spurs.
It is, and it end up, well, we'll see how bad he is, Alderweireld, because he's such an important player for them. I did think Victor Wanyama, by the way, side note, was brilliant.
Yeah, it was actually
brilliant in the game. I mean, he went into the back four and continued to be excellent. What a good signing he's been. So I think there's cover there, whether, you know, with the defenders they've got. I mean, Vimmer, I think he's had a bad day, Rob. I think in general he's done okay when Spurs have needed him, but it will be a concern. Alderweireld is such an important player. You'll soon have to wait and see how he is.
It's one of those days as well, I think, with Hugo Lloris. You go, he's had his bad game for the season. Fortunately, the two errors came because that was just not him, was he? He's so good at reading things coming out the back as a sweeper keeper. He's so good with his feet. He generally is so good and solid with his handling. It's just an off day for the goalie. No real worries there.
No concerns with that. I mean, the way that he plays, he I'm not saying that he's often shown this, but there are times he comes off his line and I'd say 9 times out of 10 he makes the right decision. It's excellent goalkeeping, but the other 1 time out of 10 it looks dodgy, and today it looked dodgy and didn't get away with it. Other times it looks dodgy and he gets away with it. So I think, you know, Pep loves that sort of goalkeeper. He's talked about those guys that anticipate the play instead of staying on your line and being reactive goalkeepers. He loves those to come off the line and be proactive in that. Today was just one of those days. It's timing, decision making was not quite right. That's why when you see the two goals conceded and you see it's his fault, the rest of the team in general were pretty robust in the game.
Yeah, pretty good for Spurs. It's a draw that probably feels like a win as they were on their way back to the capital. We're going to move it on, Rob. We're going to talk about Liverpool at home to Swansea, and I think everybody had this as a home banker. Best attack in the league, 49 goals against the worst defence in the league, conceded 49 goals before the game. And Jurgen Klopp said before, and we were actually making a bit of a fun of it, that he said like he saw the Swansea game against Arsenal and he couldn't understand the huge improvement by Swansea. They were excellent, and he was amazed at how well they did. And we were saying, really, Jurgen? Did you see the same game? But maybe he saw something we didn't. Because I'm telling you what we saw today, Rob, was the kind of things we've been saying for a while with this group of Swansea players. Yeah. If you get them well organised, get them well disciplined, and make it solid, difficult to play against, they've got players who can make things happen in the attacking third. But you've got to get the base right first.
Yeah, you've got to get the base right. It's so obvious. I mean, you did some nice analysis afterwards. It's so obvious that the team's been worked on, that the team is so compact from back to front, but narrow. And that's often when you can tell that a coach has been working with a team, because it looks weird. Yeah. It looks so unusual, like, wow, they must have worked on that. Other important thing I think he's done that Bob Bradley didn't do, he's playing his goal-scoring players, Leroy Fer and Fernando Llorente, and they were in and out of the team all the way through. And what Paul Clement's done is made sure that the team around those two, and those two aren't the most... They're not great team players, they're not big workers, but he organised a team around those two. I thought Tom Carroll was excellent in midfield, Jack Cork was a holding guy in the centre. Martin Olsen, they needed a left back. He had a really good game. He came off late, but looked stronger. A very strong shape, a very good performance, and they have got a little bit of pace and quality in a counter-attacking situation. So it was a difficult day for Liverpool, Rob.
Yeah, it was a difficult day, but also a great one for Swansea because they go out the bottom three, Rob, and we both know how psychologically that can be a huge boost. Yeah. And I thought it was a performance, it was a day, it was a game. The Paul Clement and that group start believing a little bit, start saying, you know what, if we stay to this form and then keep this going, we can get out of trouble. But as you say, you turn the chances to Liverpool and just didn't have that spark, did they? A lot of the big players, you said it a few weeks ago, unless their big players are on, this team isn't quite at it. Mane's gone, we know. Lallana's touch just eluded him a little bit. Coutinho's finding his way. Henderson wasn't quite on top game today. And they just looked a bit sluggish, I thought, at times.
Yeah, but, I mean, we've just given credit to Swansea, Rob. So sometimes, you know, there's a reason why they couldn't find a way through. There's a reason why the attacking players weren't so good, because Swansea were really well organised and had something to prove, I guess, a little bit to the manager. But it's just concerning. I mean, I understand a team comes to Anfield and they're organised and it's hard to break down, and I get that, but you don't concede three goals to them. It seems to me, Robert, and Liverpool are like this Jekyll and Hyde side at the moment, where we saw them last time out, very, very well organised, very strong, very compact, and we praise the team ethic, the structure of the team and the coaching with Jurgen Klopp. Other side of it is when they're attacking, they're on the front foot, and I don't want to say gung ho because that's maybe is a little bit too strong, but they focus on attacking, getting forward, the fullbacks, midfield players, the front players rotate, and they take the eye off defensive responsibility, and that's all that happened today. All of a sudden, it's a few passes from Swansea, breaks to a player, Sigurdsson scores, and it's just that they can't seem to get that balance right, Rob, between being really free flowing and expansive going forward, but also safe. I always think with attacking, I always was told as a player, attack safely. And I think Spurs quite haven't got that, Liverpool haven't got that balance right yet.
Did you not also get a little sense, and I know we're going to hit the break in a minute, but didn't you just get a sense as well, at 2-2, it was a bit like, oh, we're going to win this 4-2, and
that's exactly what we're talking about.
And the expectancy was like, now we're flowing, we'll do it. Like you say, there's no regard for defending at that point. It's like, they're done, aren't they? We've got their number now, and that's what's so important with this league, where the big teams, the teams who win titles, don't allow that mentality to come in.
Yeah, and is it the personality of the manager, Rob? He's emotional.
Somebody mentioned that. I saw that.
He's emotional.
Somebody mentioned the manager.
The team becomes emotional. The fans become emotional. Everybody goes forward. They want the win, and it's gung-ho, and it's like, come on, we got them now. And the focus just edges away from that defensive responsibility that the others, like a Jose, would always be a little bit mindful. He might make a substitution to change that. So I think that, listen, we love Jurgen Klopp for what he does and what he brings to this football club, but at times I think he's just got to be a little bit more careful.
Yep. Not a good day for Liverpool, but we must take a break before we look at Manchester United's travels to Stoke, where a piece of football history was enough to earn the Reds a point. Some will say they barely deserved. I'm Earl, he's Musto, and together with the Two Robbies Football Show, we'll be back in a moment.
Is the Two Robbies Football Show. We're online and on demand 24 hours a day. You're listening to NBC Sports Radio. Our game never stops.
Welcome back to the Two Robbies Football Show on a day when we witnessed a piece of football history and Gary Lineker interviewed the player involved.
Wayne, the all-time English leading goalscorer, now the all-time Manchester United leading goalscorer. Describe to us, if you can, what that means to you.
Yeah, it's a great feeling, obviously. It's a bit of a strange one at the minute. Having dropped 2 points, but in the grand scheme of things, it's a huge, proud moment for myself and something that will live with me, I'm sure, for the rest of my life.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing achievement, amazing player. To score 250 goals at a club like Manchester United that will get rid of you if you're not showing the required qualities at this club, particularly as a centre-forward, as a striker, as an attacking player. And he's done that over a huge period of time. There's been some loads of great times. There's been a few bad moments, difficult moments with the manager, Sir Alex Ferguson. But his quality has always been there, Rob, with different types of goals. You can even see it now in his touch. He's still got great quality. In those feet. Of course he's older now. Of course he's not got the sharpness of when we look back and see some of those goals in that 250. But an incredible achievement, and I've got so much respect for this guy. What a career he's had.
Yeah, do you know what I was thinking about it, what you can say, and obviously the goals speak for himself, the number, the quality that he's been at a club like Manchester United. I was just thinking about the amount of partners he's had. So, there's been some great players who've played with him as well, haven't they, he's benefited from, they've benefited from him. Just, you know, this 18-year-old kid who goes to Old Trafford, who smashes in a hat-trick on his debut in the Champions League and sets the standard and just keeps continuing scoring. And what's sometimes slightly disappointing is that people who've only watched the Premier League over the last couple of years have probably seen the tail end of Wayne Rooney. They haven't seen the beauty and the art and the industry and the craft that he had early and mid through his career when he was just, you know, one of the outstanding forwards in European football.
The other thing with him is I always think about Wayne Rooney, and we have this conversation with Rebecca quite a lot in the studio. Could he have been better? That's the question. Let's get your take on it first.
Do you know, I think this becomes an easy one of those pub arguments where it's easy to say, well, you know, if he'd have looked himself, if he'd looked after himself more, if he was a bit, maybe a bit more challenging, if he did it, if this. Do you know what, Robert? I'm not going to go down that route, because he is who he is. He's a byproduct of the area environment he grew, came up in, very working class, you know, was playing in the street, kicking the ball against garages, they said, that after he was playing at Everton. He played straight from school and came onto the scene, and it's kind of, he is who he is. I mean, remember the goal at West Ham from the halfway line? And people sometimes say he's not the brightest footballer. The intelligence that's needed to score a goal like that, to work it out, there's almost like a mathematical, a scientific equation. You've got to quickly, in nanoseconds, work out in your head before you hit the ball. So I'm not going to go down that route. I'm going to say, you know what? A byproduct of what he was and how he's been brought up has produced this brilliant player who scored 250 goals, and maybe other people wouldn't be able to do it the same.
Yeah, I agree. I think why it's brought up, and I think why it's interesting, is that that you do see, like we see Zlatan Ibrahimovic now in such immaculate condition. You do see players like Cristiano Ronaldo that train so hard, they're absolutely ripped without an ounce of body fat. But so in that regard, yes, I guess he could have been better. He could be a starter. I don't know where that can take him, but you're right. He's a product of where he's from in England, the culture of England, the way that it happens, the way that they play football here. He's had an amazing, amazing career. And I think we should all celebrate that instead of thinking about, you know, he ain't that great at the moment, or he's not in the team and he could look after himself better.
Rob, just point there. Do you think he'll finish a career at Manchester United? Would that be the right thing to do?
I think it would be the right thing to do, but I don't think he will. I think he might have one more challenge in him, Rob. And there's talk that you know, all this kind of reports that you read about him, once he breaks a record, he could leave at the end of the season if he does it and go somewhere else. I think he might have one. Now, it's difficult to say where he's going to go. I think he's got one more move in him. What do you think?
No, I think the way he is, I think the kind of lad he is, I think he's accepted he's not going to be the star player. I think he'd be happy to play a secondary role, but be at the football club. I can't kind of see Wayne Rooney wearing the shirt of any other team now. Maybe he goes abroad, but somehow I don't think China, even MLS football, would be right for him.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, let's just celebrate what he is at the moment and what he's done. And just on the game, Rob, I did. Yeah. I know we watched different games at this time slot, and I watched this game, and it was just a while they had Wayne Rooney, because it wasn't a good Manchester United day. It was a difficult match, Rob. Stoke City, and we've seen this before with Stoke. Sometimes they look kind of a little bit easy, ozy, and not a difficult environment. This was hard. This was an aggressive front foot, passionate. The fans were up for the game. It was under the lights at this time, and it was a really difficult game. I thought some players in the United team went missing. I thought Jose made changes that I didn't agree with. Fellaini played, and I know that he likes him in these big encounters with a physical Stoke side. He changed left back. Rooney, of course, started on the bench. It was Mata and Mkhitaryan in the wider area. So he's rotating, changing around. And we know he's got this League Cup second leg on Thursday. Yeah. I thought, why didn't he stick to the same three in the middle of the park? And at the end of it, I mean, they got the point. It was in Fergie time, I guess. The record was broken. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't a good Manchester United performance, Robert. If you look at the table, they continue to be sixth place. Everton are just 5 points behind. Are you confident they're going to finish in the top four? Because I'm not.
Listen, I'm not confident about anybody in the top six, the way that things go. Chelsea will be in there. That's about the only one I'm going for. But I was interested today in Paul Pogba, Rob, because he got a little bit of stick after the Liverpool game. People talk about the emojis and the marketing and all this with him. And some of it his fault, maybe some of it Manchester United, not allowing him to focus on his football. How was he today? There was no Carrick. And where's the immediate future for Paul Pogba? What's his aims?
Well, of course his aims are to be a phenomenal the best midfield player on the planet. That's what his aims are. He's the most expensive player. He's at a football club that's going to give him everything that he wants. You know what? Again, the thing that he's having a problem with, Rob, is that sometimes games pass him by. And we used to hear that a lot as midfield players. Coaches said to me a lot, don't let the game pass you by. Affect the game. Whatever it takes, affect it. And a game today, a little bit, we didn't see much of him. And it led me to think about Paul Pogba and about his performance and as he's a player. And I put it out on Twitter, and I basically said, what's Paul Pogba really good at? Was he, and I'll ask you the same question, Rob, was he really good at, as a midfield player, what is he phenomenal at?
For me, Rob, when he's at his game, he can go from box to box and change the dynamic of a game with power and athleticism.
But what does that mean?
He can intercept a ball from a defensive position, drive it through midfield and set a counter-attack, launch an attack just by his physicality.
Is that going to make him the best player in the world? Is that going to make him the best midfield player?
And when he gets there, he can pick out the pass with his right or left foot, as we've seen on not too many occasions, but on single occasions for Manchester United. Mm. That, Rob, I think, sets him apart. A little bit like Steven Gerrard used to do back in the old days for Liverpool. That's what I would say sets him apart. It was interesting, though, Rob, and now just let me get to a few tweets, because I just wanted to get a few in, where Matt Van Swarthout said that Pogba needs structure behind him. He needs somebody like Carrick. Plenty of people going on that kind of line. Somebody said we're missing a midfield boss, someone who makes us tick consistently. Pogba better with somebody else in central midfield. That was from Mimar. And Jason Samuel Toy said they're missing a playmaker. Carrick again was mentioned. And I have to mention one from Sam Cook, who said he's better than both of you. Well, although $116 million, his big toe is probably worth both of our figures. So that was a bit harsh.
Yeah, it was a bit harsh. But I think the general theme we got from the tweets was that he needs somebody there to control midfield. And I think that's a really good tweet from Mima. I think it says that he needs somebody else to control the area to allow him to go out and do the things that he's best at. I just, you know, just finally on him, Rob, I just want to see assists. I want to see goals, because he's not a brilliant playmaker. He's not a fantastic defensive guy. So he's got to assist and score regularly.
Yeah, gosh, how he could do with a Roy Keane time.
Absolutely.
Keane time next to him. That would make him a different player. Listen, we're going to take a break, mate. Then we'll look towards a three-game Sunday programme where we'll look at the top and bottom of the table for tomorrow's game. Arsenal have a chance to go second, while Chelsea will be looking to extend their lead at the top. This is Premier League Football with the two Robbies on NBC Sports Radio.
Stick around. After this break, things really heat up.
Show where we're going to concentrate now on Sunday's games, and the first one kicks off at St Mary's. It's against Leicester. Coverage begins 6:30 a.m. Eastern Time on NBCSN. Then we're going to move forward to the 9:15 kickoff. That's Arsenal versus Burnley, Robbie Musto. And, well, the way things have gone at the top of the table, chance for Arsenal to jump into second place, mate.
It is. Go and take it. Go and show everybody that you're the best team of the rest and you're going to be the main challenge for Chelsea. Four of the top six have dropped points today, so it's all there for Arsenal against a Burnley side that are just awful away from home. I think they've just won 1 point, Rob, away from home. Crazy. Only scored 3 goals, and I mean, they've been fantastic at home with 8 wins, but this really is an opportunity for Arsenal to be positive, to be on the front foot. I hope that they start quickly, Rob, because sometimes Arsenal, when it seems an easy game, a little bit slow out of the blocks, they feel they've got a lot of time and they waste minutes in just not going for the jugular earlier on. So I know Giroud's back in the side. We know that Alexis is kind of going through this kind of a weird phase in his career right now, where he looks upset, he's scoring and they're winning, but he doesn't look very happy. So I'm positive for Arsenal. You have to think they're going to win this game, surely.
Let's go to our debatable point as ever. Olivier Giroud, apparently he looks like he's fit, had a bit of a calf strain. Do you play him if he's fit? He's in great form, Rob. 9 goals in his last 9 games. Does he start and you find a place for Alexis wide, or are you still going with the Alexis down the middle and the Iwobi maybe, and even Perez or Ox in the wide position?
Yes, I'm going for the second part of that comment, Robbie.
The second?
Yes.
You still want Giroud on the bench?
Yeah, I want him on the bench.
Last nine appearances, all competitions.
Yeah,
Olivier Giroud.
Yeah, he's brilliant off the bench. He's brilliant off the bench. So I think
so
the longer he's in the team, the worse he gets. So when he's fired up, when he's off the bench, he's really, really good. He gets a start, he's really, really good for a few games. Listen,
wow.
I know it's
poor
a little bit harsh.
Old Olivier.
Yeah, I just really like Alexis up the middle, and I like Iwobi, and I like Ozil, and I like Lucas Perez, and I like the other players that they've got to bring in little bits and pieces. Now, as ever with Arsenal, there's injuries, and we're not quite sure who's going to be fit, and he'll probably start. I don't have a big problem with him, of course, starting up front. I just really like Alexis. I think it's so different with his pressing, winning the ball back, runs in behind. Giroud gives you a lot of good things. Predominantly attacking crosses. I mean, he's phenomenal attacking crosses. Arsenal don't cross that much until they really need to, and that's why he's good, so good to come on late in games, because the balls get swung in for him and he attacks them really well. So maybe he's a little bit harsh. I just wouldn't change anything early in the season, Rob. They were playing phenomenally well. Alexis was up front and Drew was on the bench.
Yeah, it won't be an easy one for Arsenal, as Liverpool saw today. I think a Burnley team that well organised with Sean Dyche. Not, as you say, only 1 point on the road. It's strange to me because they're a well-disciplined team. But I expect Arsenal to get the job done. Let's move it on to the later game. That's 11:30 kickoff. That's Chelsea hosting Hull City. And Hull City look like a little revival under Marco Silva. Mm. But Chelsea, we're expecting them to get the business done. Maybe, you know, extend that lead at the top of the league with people falling away today. Diego Costa, Robbie Musto, back in training on Tuesday, is smiling, is happy.
Now, you didn't think he was going to be smiling again?
I didn't think he was smiling, but obviously on Monday they came out and said that the Chinese FA are restricting the amount of foreigners that can come into play in the league. On Tuesday, Diego Costa joins back training.
Yeah.
Coincidence, that. Do you play him, Rob? If he's back, he's fit, he said he's okay, the back's okay, he's smiling, he's back in the group. Do you start him tomorrow, or do you stick him on the bench?
I start him. Of course, we've got to, you know, as long as his back, yeah, whatever. His back is okay, but yeah, I'd start him. Absolutely. Yeah. Get him back on track. Get him back in the team. Get him in front at Stamford Bridge, in front of those fans. Get that connection back on again. And listen, we had this conversation, Rob, and we differed on it, and it's like, you know what? He's volatile. There's a cloud over him right now. It's going to move on. It'll be Antonio Conte will take control again, and he'll play again. I think that's going to happen. We don't know for sure yet if he starts or whatever, but it looks like he's back on board with the players and stuff. So, you know, I think that's interesting. Longer term, I don't know whether he stays any longer than the summer. I think the manager might say, you know what? Enough is enough. If you're angling to move again in the summer, it might be time for you to move on. He's talked about Alvaro Morata and different striking options to fill his position. But right now, they need him. I think he's going to play.
So if he plays, Rob, who do you drop? Just quickly, you've got Willian, you've got Pedro and Hazard, who did the job against Leicester. And some will say, well, maybe he should have to take his turn on the sideline. But yeah. I would have thought Willian's probably the most likely to drop out if Costa plays.
I think he likes William instead of Pedro, Rob. I think his front three would be, of course, Costa at front, Hazard on the left. And I think he likes William preferred to Pedro, which is harsh on Pedro because he's done really well of late. I think that's where he'd go. But you made a good point. I mean, why switch it around? They're confident. They've got this rotation going on. So I would get that. But I'm still stronger on getting back in the team, get him in front of the home fans and try and reconnect again.
Yeah, it's a big chance for Chelsea, Rob. They'll look at this and know that they can put you know, something like a 8 or 9 point gap between them and the rest that starts to kick on as we get to the second half of the season. Can't see them letting this one go, can you?
No, I can't. I mean, Hull and Marco Silva's had a really good start. Abel Hernandez is scoring, which is absolutely critical and important. Plus, they're making signings. So I don't think they're going to stay up, but right now they're absolutely in touch. And full marks to manager. He's doing a good job so far.
Good stuff, mate, as ever. Time's running out. So that leaves us just time to reward the tweet of the day, and it's going to go to Sam Cook, who tweeted a little bit harshly
that
Pogba is better than both of you. So, Sam, send direct messages your address.
I wonder if Sam's a good player.
Off in the post, and we'll get that to you in a couple of days. So, on a weekend when Liverpool lost ground at the top and Manchester City and Spurs had to settle for a point each, we'll look forward to a Super Sunday. Will Diego Costa play, put this Chinese experience behind him and be part of Chelsea's fight for the title? Remember, for more debate, discussion and often disagreement, make sure you subscribe to iTunes to download the Two Robbies podcast. Making sure you rate and review the shows for us goes a long way to increasing our coverage. And as ever, you can listen to the Two Robbies football show each and every Premier League Saturday, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on NBC Sports Radio. And finally, thanks to our crew in Culver City. The best thing I can say to you guys is you are like Swansea today.
Yeah, thanks everybody for listening in and sending us your thoughts through social media. We skip next Saturday as it's FA Cup weekend, but we will return the following Saturday after that short break, of course, to discuss all the big stories, the talking points, the drama in this amazing Premier League. So until then, it's good night from me.
And good night from him.
Good night.
Good night.
Want to earn extra cash for the holidays? Amazon Flex is expanding in the San Francisco Bay Area. Opportunities in Richmond, Oakland, and Daly City. Earn around $20 to $27 an hour delivering packages with Amazon. All you need is a car, a smartphone, and some free time. This is a great opportunity to be your own boss, deliver when you want, and make extra money. With Amazon Flex, you'll have flexible hours and great earnings. To get started, download the app at flex.amazon.com. That's flex.amazon.com. You must be at least 21 years old. Limited opportunities available. Get started at flex.amazon.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Yeah. Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.